Good evening, and welcome to The Lost Chord, a weekly program of unusual and neglected repertoire. I'm Ross Amico, and I sincerely hope you'll stay with me for the next hour, as we sample from Sir Thomas Beecham's recording of Schumann's Manfred. Byronic Beecham is what we call tonight's program. I thought I'd dust off this classic, though seldom heard, and only sporadically available recording of Sir Thomas Beecham directing Schumann's incidental music to Lord Byron's dramatic poem, Manfred. Schumann was 19 years old when he first read Byron's poem in 1829. It affected him greatly. In 1848, he began to compose music for it, concurrently with that for his scenes from Goethe's Faust. Wrote Schumann, "I have never before devoted myself to a composition with such love and such exertion of my powers as to Manfred." The piece was given its first performance in Weimar in 1852. Franz Liszt conducted. Beecham certainly, though perhaps unexpectedly, had the Byronic credentials. Byron was among his favorite poets. He also happened to conduct one of the great recordings of Harold in Italy, of course after Byron's Childe Harold's Pilgrimage, with violist William Primrose. Beecham led two performances of the complete Manfred in 1918, when he was 39 years old. Some 36 years later, he decided to resurrect the work via a broadcast performance, then as a Royal Festival Hall program. The completed Manfred consists of an overture and 15 numbers. It contains much attractive music and some very effective moments. Undoubtedly, it is entertaining, though at times dramatically static, since much of it is comprised of a florid monologue. Beecham recognized this and enlisted the help of Eugene Goossens and Julius Harrison to assist him in orchestrating a number of Schumann's piano pieces to underscore some of the spoken dialogue, incorporated a couple of part songs, and invented a ballet. However, Beecham's license is nowhere in the same league as that he would later take with Handel's Messiah. If you're unfamiliar with the poem, Manfred is the quintessential Byronic hero, a romantic Superman enduring unimaginable sufferings and mysterious guilt in connection with the death of his most beloved. He wanders the Alps, longing for extinction, and meets his fate defiantly, rejecting all authority, corporeal and supernatural. The overture is the real gem, a symphonic poem in itself, though regrettably for time considerations we'll be omitting it this evening. The complete recording is over 78 minutes in length. We'll hear as much of it as we can. Here's actor Liebman Brown and company, along with the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra and BBC Chorus, conducted by Sir Thomas Beecham. A 1954 recording of Schumann's Manfred.
The lamp must be replenished, but even then it will not burn so long as I must watch. My slumbers, if I slumber, are not sleep, but a continuance of enduring thought, which then I can resist not. In my heart there is a vigil, and these eyes but close to look within. And yet I live and bear the aspect and the form of breathing men. But grief should be the instructor of the wise. Sorrow is knowledge. They who know the most must mourn the deepest, or the fatal truth. The tree of knowledge is not that of life. Philosophy and science and the springs of wonder and the wisdom of the world I have essayed. And in my mind there is a power to make these subject to itself. But they avail not. I have done men good, and I have met with good even among men. But this availed not. I have had my foes, and none have baffled me, many fallen before me. But this availed not. Good or evil, life, powers, passions, all I see in other beings have been to me as rain unto the sands since that all nameless hour. I have no dread and feel the curse to have no natural fear nor fluttering throb that beats with hopes or wishes or lurking love of something on the earth. Now to my task. Mysterious agency, Ye spirits of the unbounded universe, whom I have sought in darkness and in light, ye who do compass earth about and dwell in subtler essence, ye to whom the tops of mountains inaccessible are haunts, and earths and oceans, caves, familiar things, I call upon ye by the written charm which gives me power upon you. Rise! Appear! They come not yet. Now by the voice of him who is the first among you, by this sign which makes you tremble, by the claims of him who is undying, rise! Appear! Appear! If it be so, spirits of earth and air, ye shall not thus elude me! By a power deeper than all yet urged, a tyrant spell which had its birthplace in a star condemned, the burning wreck of a demolished world, a wandering hell in the eternal space, by the strong curse which is upon my soul, the thought which is within me and around me, I do compel ye to my will. Appear!
Thank you.
wouldst thou with us, son of mortals, say? Forgetfulness of what, of whom, and why? Of that which is within me. Read it there, ye know it, and I cannot utter it. We can but give thee that which we possess. Ask of us subjects, sovereignty, the power or earth, the whole or portion, or a sign which shall control the elements whereof we are the dominators, each and all. These shall be thine. Oblivion, self-oblivion, can ye not wring from out the hidden realms ye offer so profusely that which I ask? It is not in our essence, in our skill, but thou mayest die. Will death bestow it on me? We are immortal and do not forget. We are eternal, and to us the past is as the future, present. Art thou answered? I then can have called ye from your realms in vain. Ye cannot, or ye will not, aid me. Say, what we possess, we offer. It is thine. Bethink ere thou dismiss us. Ask again. Kingdom and sway and strength and length of days.
Accursed, what have I to do with days?
Yet pause. Being here, our will would do thee service. Bethink thee, is there then no other gift which we can make not worthless in thine eyes?
No, none. Yet stay. One moment ere we part. I would behold ye face to face. I hear your voices, sweet and melancholy sounds as music on the waters. And I see the steady aspect of a clear, large star, but nothing more. Approach me as ye are, or one or all, in your accustomed forms.
We have no form beyond the elements of which we are the mind and principle. But choose a form, in that we will appear.
I have no choice. There is no form on earth hideous or beautiful to me. Let him who is most powerful of ye take such aspect as unto him may seem most fitting. Come.
And a mockery, I yet might be most happy. I will clasp thee, and we again will be.
false tears I did distill on essence which had strength to kill. From thy own heart I then did wring. The black blood in its blackest spring, from thy own smile I snatched the snake. There it coiled as in a brake. From thy own lip I drew the charm which gave all these their chiefest harm. In proving every poison known, I found the strongest was thine own. Was thine own.
And on thy head I pour the fire, which doth devote thee to this trial. Nor to slumber, nor to die, shall be in thy destiny, for thy death shall still seem near. I wish
now the spell now works around thee, and the clankless chain hath bound thee. For thy heart and brain together hath the word been passed.
The spirits I have raised abandon me. The spell which I have studied baffled me. The remedy I recked of tortured me. I lean no more on superhuman aid. It hath no power upon the past. And for the future, till the past be gulfed in darkness, it is not of my search. My mother Earth, and thou, fresh breaking day, and you, ye mountains, why are ye beautiful? I cannot love ye. And thou, the bright eye of the universe that openest over all, and unto all art a delight, thou shinest not in my heart. And you, ye crags, upon whose extreme edge I stand, and on the torrent's brink beneath, behold the tall pines dwindled as to shrubs in dizziness of distance. When a leap, a stir, a motion, even a breath, would bring my breast upon its rocky bosomed bed to rest forever. Wherefore do I pause? I feel the impulse, yet I do not plunge. I see the peril, yet do not recede, and my brain reels, and yet my foot is firm. There is a power upon me which withholds and makes it my fatality to live, if it be life, to wear within myself this barrenness of spirit, and to be my own soul's sepulchre, for I have ceased to justify my deeds unto myself. This last infirmity of evil. Hark, the note, the natural music of the mountain reed,
for here the patriarchal days are not a pastoral fable. Pipes in the liberal air, mixed with the sweet bells of the sauntering herd. My soul would drink those echoes. Oh, that I were the viewless spirit of a lovely sound. A living voice, a breathing harmony, a bodiless enjoyment. Born and dying with the blessed tone which made me. It is not noon. The sunbow's rays still arch the torrent with the many hues of heaven and roll the sheeted silver's waving column over the crag's headlong perpendicular and fling its lines of foaming light along and to and fro like the pale courser's tail, the giant steed to be bestrode by death as told in the apocalypse. No eyes but mine now drink this sight of loveliness. I should be sole in this sweet solitude, and with the spirit of the place divide the homage of these waters. I will call. Beautiful spirit, with thy hair of light and dazzling eyes of glory, in whose form the charms of earth's least mortal daughters grow to an unearthly stature in an essence of purer elements. Beautiful spirit, in thy calm, clear brow, wherein is glassed serenity of soul, which of itself shows immortality. I read that thou wilt pardon to a son of earth whom the abstruser powers permit at times to commune with them, if that he avail him of his spells to call thee thus and gaze on thee a moment.
Son of earth, I know thee and the powers which give thee power. I know thee for a man of many thoughts and deeds, of good and ill, extreme in both, fatal and fated in thy sufferings. I have expected this. What wouldst thou with me?
To look upon thy beauty, nothing further. The face of the earth hath maddened me, and I take refuge in her mysteries and pierce to the abodes of those who govern her, but they can nothing aid me. I have sought from them what they could not bestow, and now I search no further.
What could be the quest which is not in the power of the most powerful, the rulers of the invisible?
A boon. But why should I repeat it? It were in vain.
I know not that. Let thy lips utter it.
Well, though it torture me, 'tis but the same. My pang shall find a voice. From my youth upwards, my spirit walked not with the souls of men, nor looked upon the earth with human eyes. The thirst of their ambition was not mine. The aim of their existence was not mine. My joys, my griefs, my passions, and my powers made me a stranger. Though I wore the form, I had no sympathy with breathing flesh. My joy was in the wilderness, to breathe the difficult air of the iced mountain's top, where the birds dare not build, nor insects wing, flit o'er the herbless granite, or to plunge into a torrent and to roll along on the swift whirl of the new breaking wave of river, stream, or ocean in their flow. In these, my early strength exulted. to follow through the night the moving moon, the stars in their development, or catch the dazzling lightnings till my eyes grew dim, or to look, listening, on the scattered leaves while autumn winds were at their evening song. These were my pastimes, and to be alone. Yet there was one.
Spare not thyself. Proceed.
She was like me in lineaments. Her eyes, her hair, her features, all to the very tone even of her voice, they said, were like to mine, but softened all and tempered into beauty. She had the same lone thoughts and wanderings, the quest of hidden knowledge, and a mind to comprehend the universe. Nor these alone, but with them gentler powers than mine, pity and smiles and tears which I had not, and tenderness, but that I had for her, humility, and that I never had. Her faults were mine, her virtues were her own. I loved her and destroyed her.
With thy hand?
Not with my hand, but heart, which broke her heart. It gazed on mine and withered. I have shed blood, but not hers. And yet her blood was shed. I saw, but could not stanch it.
And for this, a being of the race thou dost despise, the order which thine own would rise above, mingling with us and ours, thou dost forego the gifts of our great knowledge and shrink'st back to recreant mortality. Away!
Daughter of air, I tell thee, since that hour my solitude is solitude no more, but peopled with the Furies, I have prayed for madness as a blessing. 'Tis denied me. I have affronted death, but in the war of elements, the waters shrunk from me, and fatal things passed harmless. The cold hand of an all-pitiless demon held me back. I plunged amidst mankind. Forgetfulness I sought in all save where 'tis to be found. And that I have to learn. My sciences, my long pursued and superhuman art is mortal here. I dwell in myself and live forever.
It may be that I can aid thee.
Thy power must wake the dead or lay me low with them. Do so in any shape, in any hour, with any torture, so it be the last.
That is not in my province. But if thou wilt swear obedience to my will and do my bidding, it may help thee to thy wishes.
I will not swear. Obey, and whom? The spirits whose presence I command, and be the slave of those who serve me? Never.
Is this all? Hast thou no gentler answer? Yet bethink thee, and pause ere thou rejectest.
I have said it.
Enough. I may retire then. Say!
Retire.
We've been listening to selections from Robert Schumann's Manfred, featuring actors, chorus, and orchestra. Regrettably, for time considerations, we had to omit the rustic interlude with the chamois hunter and the open-hearted entr'acte, which begins part two. Leighman Brown, a bit long in the tooth for Byron's antihero, but no one elongates evil quite like him. The Royal Philharmonic Orchestra and the BBC Chorus were under the direction of Sir Thomas Beecham. Byronic Beecham, Schumann's Manfred tonight, You're listening to The Lost Chord.
We are the fools of time and terror. Days steal on us and steal from us. Yet we live loathing our life and dreading still to die. I have one resource still in my science. I can call the dead and ask them what it is we dread to be. The sternest answer can be but the grave, and that is nothing. If I had never lived, that which I love had still been living. Had I never loved, that which I love would still be beautiful, happy, and giving happiness. What is she? What is she now? A sufferer for my sins? A thing I dare not think upon, or nothing. Until this hour, I never shrunk to gaze on spirit, good or evil. Now I tremble, but I can act even what I most abhor and champion human fears. The night approaches. Reply to me. Call up the dead. My question is for them.
Great Arimanes, doth thy will avouch the wishes of this mortal?
Yea.
Whom wouldst thou uncharnel?
One without a tomb. Call up Astarte!
Shadow or spirit, whatever thou art, which still doth inherit the whole or a part of the form of thy birth, of the mould of thy clay which returned to the earth, reappear to the day, bear what thou borest, the heart and the form, and the aspect thou warest, redeem from the worm. Appear. 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 Who sent thee there? Requires thee here.
Can this be death? There's bloom upon her cheek, but now I see it is no living hue, but a strange hectic, like the unnatural red which autumn plants upon the perished leaf. It is the same, O God, that I should dread to look upon the same Astarte. No, I cannot speak to her, but bid her speak, forgive me or condemn me.
By the power which hath broken the grave which enthralled thee, speak to him who hath spoken, or those who have called thee.
She is silent, and in that silence I am more than answered.
My power extends no further. Prince of Air, it rests with thee alone. Command her voice. Spirit, obey that scepter. Silent still. She is not of our order, but belongs to the other powers. Mortal, thy quest is vain, and we are baffled also.
Hear me, Astarte, my beloved, speak to me. I have so much endured, so much endured. Look on me. The grave hath not changed thee more than I am changed for thee. Thou lovest me too much as I love thee. We were not made to torture thus each other, though it were the deadliest sin to love as we have loved. Say that thou loathest me not, that I do bear this punishment for both, that thou wilt be one of the blessed, and that I shall die. For hitherto all hateful things conspire to bind me in existence, in a life which makes me shrink from immortality, a future like the past. I cannot rest. I know not what I ask, nor what I seek. I feel but what thou art, and what I am. And I would hear yet once, before I perish, the voice which was my music. Speak to me.
Thank you.
For I have called on thee in the still night, startled the slumbering birds from the hushed boughs, and woke the mountain wolves, and made the caves acquainted with thy vainly echoed name, which answered me, many things answered me, spirits and men, but thou wert silent all. Yet speak to me. I have outwatched the stars and gazed o'er heaven in vain in search of thee. Speak to me. I have wandered o'er the earth and never found thy likeness. Speak to me. Look on the fiends around. They feel for me. I fear them not and feel for thee alone. Speak to me. Though it be in wrath, but say, I reck not what, but let me hear thee once, this once, once more.
Manfred.
Say on, say on. I live but in the sound. It is thy voice.
Manfred. Tomorrow ends thine earthly ills. Farewell.
Yet one word more. Am I forgiven?
Farewell.
Say, shall we meet again?
Farewell.
One word for mercy. Say thou lovest me.
Will be fulfilled. Return to the earth.
We meet then. Where? On the earth, even as thou wilt. And for the grace accorded, I now depart a debtor. Fare thee well.
My lord, you bade me wait on you at sunset. He sinks behind the mountain.
Doth he so? I will look on him.
Mm-hmm.
glorious orb, the idol of early nature and the vigorous race of undiseased mankind, the giant sons of the embrace of angels with a sex more beautiful than they which did draw down the erring spirit who can ne'er return. Most glorious orb, that wert a worship ere the mystery of thy making was revealed. Thou earliest minister of the Almighty, which gladdened on their mountain tops the hearts of the Chaldean shepherds till they poured themselves in orisons. Thou material god and representative of the unknown, who chose thee for his shadow. Thou chief star, center of many stars, which makes our earth endurable and temperest the hues and hearts of all who walk within thy rays. Sire of the seasons, monarch of the climes and those who dwell in them, for near or far our inborn spirits have a tint of thee, even as our outward aspects. Thou dost rise and shine and set in glory. Fare thee well. I ne'er shall see thee more. As my first glance of love and wonder was for thee, then take my latest look. Thou wilt not beam on one to whom the gifts of life and warmth have been of a more fatal nature. Thou knowest me not. My days are numbered and my deeds recorded. Retire, or 'twill be dangerous. Away. Thou dost not mean to menace me? Not I. I simply tell thee peril is at hand and would preserve thee. What dost mean? Look there. What dost thou see? Nothing. Look there, I say, and steadfastly. Now tell me what thou seest. That which should shake me, but I fear it not. I see a dusk and awful figure rise like an infernal god from out the earth, his face wrapped in a mantle, and his form robed as with angry clouds. He stands between thyself and me, but I do not fear him. Thou hast no cause. He shall not harm thee, but his sight may shock thine old limbs into palsy. I say to thee, retire. And I reply, never, till I have battled with this fiend. What doth he hear? What doth he hear? I did not send for him. He is unbidden. Alas, lost mortal, what with guests like these hast thou to do? I tremble for thy sake. Why doth he gaze on thee and thou on him? Ah, he unveils his aspect. On his brow the thunder scars are graven. From his eye glares forth the immortality of hell. Avaunt! Pronounce, what is thy mission?
Come!
What art thou, unknown being? Answer, speak!
The genius of this mortal. Come, 'tis time.
I am prepared for all things, but deny the power which summons me. Who sent thee here?
Thou'lt know anon. Come, come.
I have commanded things of an essence greater far than thine, and striven with thy masters. Get thee hence.
Mortal, thine hour is come. Away, I say.
I knew and know my hour is come, but not to render up my soul to such as thee. Away! I'll die as I have lived, alone.
Then I must summon up my brethren. Rise!
I do defy ye! Though I feel my soul is ebbing from me, yet I do defy ye! Nor will I hence, while I have earthly breath to breathe my scorn upon ye, earthly strength to wrestle, though with spirits what ye take shall be torn limb by limb.
Reluctant mortal, is this the magian who would so pervade the world invisible and make himself almost our equal? Can it be that thou art thus in love with life? The very life which made thee wretched.
False fiend, thou liest. Thou hast no power upon me, that I feel. Thou never shalt possess me, that I know. What I have done is done. I bear within a torture which could nothing gain from thine. Thou didst not tempt me, and thou couldst not tempt me. I have not been thy dupe, nor am thy prey, but was mine own destroyer, and will be mine own hereafter. Back, ye baffled fiends! The hand of death is on me, but not yours!
Alas, how pale thou art. Thy lips are white, and thy breast heaves, and in thy gasping throat the accents rattle. Give thy prayers to heaven. 'Tis over. My dull eyes can fix thee not, but all things swim around me, and the earth heaves, as it were, beneath me. Fare thee well. Give me thy hand.
Cold, cold, even to the heart. But yet one prayer. Alas, how fares it with thee?
Old man, 'tis not so difficult to die.
Thank you.
The conclusion of Robert Schumann's Manfred. We've been listening to selections therefrom, shoehorning a 75-minute recording into 50-odd minutes. Laban Brown was Manfred. He also appeared as a spirit and as the Abbot of St. Maurice. Jill Balkan was the Witch of the Alps in The Phantom Astarte. Ralph de la Tour was Nemesis and the spirit genius of Manfred. And David Enders was Herman, a servant of Manfred. We've heard soloists, the BBC chorus, and the Royal Philharmonic, all under the direction of Sir Thomas Beecham. A 1954 recording, heard here in glorious mono. A rare opportunity to experience that work, or highlights thereof, and an especially rare opportunity to enjoy that recording, on the Beecham Collection label. As I mentioned earlier, it was reissued, and then deleted by Sony. I believe it's also been remastered by Naxos for foreign markets. And with those selections from Schumann's Manfred, after the dramatic poem of Lord Byron, we come to the conclusion of tonight's program. Byronic Beecham. I'm Ross Samico. Thanks very much for joining me for this week's edition of The Lost Chord. Funding for this program has been provided in part by the listener members of the Classical Network. Make a donation today at wwfm.org. Thank you for supporting the Classical Network. For more information on The Lost Chord, recommended recordings, and more, visit my Facebook page and be sure to like me at Classic Ross Amico.